This is Cross Hope, a daily word of hope and inspiration with Randy Snyder, Senior Minister of Crossview Christian Church. Now, with today's message from Cross Hope, here's Randy Snyder.
Well, the word is called synopsis. Synopsis. I am a wordsmith and I look up words to see about their origin. I found out the word synopsis, part of the word has its origin in the word autopsy, which I couldn't make the connection there. But the word synopsis means a brief statement about the whole, the complete thing. You talk about a synopsis of a book. What's that book about? And somebody gives you a synopsis of the book. What's that movie about that's playing at the theaters? And somebody gives you a synopsis. It's a brief statement about the whole. Well, today, William Barclay from Scotland says the passage that we're studying is a synopsis in two verses, what it means to be a Christian, what it means to believe in Christ, come to Christ, and what it means to be a believer in our day and age. And I think he's absolutely right. It's the second chapter of 2 Thessalonians. It's only one more message next week, and we end this series. I want you to turn to 2 Thessalonians 2. I'm going to just reference a couple verses in the first 12 verses, a passage that's about the Antichrist. Most people have heard the term Antichrist, even if they don't know what it is. It's a person that the Bible speaks of that before the return of Christ is going to set himself up as God, set himself up for worship. And that man of lawlessness, is the way he's described in the NIV, is the Antichrist, I believe. Someone in opposition to Christ or in place of. Could be either or both. And I just want to reference two verses out of it, the first passage in verses 7 and 8. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work in our culture. But the one who now holds it back will continue to do so till he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth. What a visual expression, the breath of his mouth, and destroy by the splendor of his coming. What does it mean the spirit of lawlessness is already at work? You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know that there is, in a sense, a spirit of Antichrist already in our culture, in opposition to Christ. There are people that are more than willing to smile at you and tell you, we don't care what your little Bible says. We're going to do this, and we believe this. We don't care what your church believes. We don't care what your standards are. We don't care what moral code you follow. We want you to conform. We want you to bend and conform to our standard. And you see, Romans 12:1 says, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And yet, we're under pressure in this culture today to be cookie-cutter replicas of everybody else. Just be like everybody else. Just go along in order to get along is the philosophy of the day. And I think that the Bible speaks about that powerfully, about our culture today. But we're going to focus on the last verses that begin at verse 13. It's a powerful verse, the synopsis of the Christian life in a nutshell. We always ought to thank God for you, verse 13, brothers, loved by the Lord, because from the beginning God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. And then a benediction, a prayer. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. Well, we'll continue this message from 2 Thessalonians 2 tomorrow on Cross Hope on Sirius XM 131, the Family Talk Channel. For Cross Hope, God bless you. Well, yesterday on Cross Hope, we began the second of just three messages from a short book of the Bible called 2 Thessalonians. If you listen to Cross Hope regularly, you may remember that we had nine messages in the first book of Thessalonians. Now we're in the second day of the second message from chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians, where Paul encourages the Christians at Thessalonica to do something very simple: stand firm in your faith. You and I live in a culture that wants you to stand firm in the culture. Stand firm in the system, the belief system of the day, but don't stand firm in the Word of God, and yet that's what a Christian is under orders to do. Let's continue with the second day of a message from 2 Thessalonians 2. What I'd like to do is describe what it means to become a Christian, just in two verses, verses 13 and 14. Verse 13 says, "We ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord." It all starts with being loved by the Lord. When I spoke at Ohio University in Athens years ago for campus ministry, I had a student come up to me and he said, "What's the basic difference between Christianity and other religions?" I don't know if I was correct or not, but here's the answer I gave him. I said, in all the other world religions, people are reaching out to God, whoever God is, and trying to appease him and trying to do things to get to reach him, to take the initiative. But Christianity is the one religion where God has taken the initiative through Christ. And God loved you before the world even began, is the implication of this passage. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life." Romans 5:8 says, "God commended his love toward us, that while we were still sinners, opposed to God in our behavior, in our choices, in our thought life, God sent his Son to die for us on a cross." God commended, sent his love. So the first thing I want to tell you about becoming a Christian is you're loved by God. Some of you don't believe it, but it's true. The reason you have trouble believing, because you had a parent who didn't love you the way he should have loved you or she should have loved you. You had a brother or sister who never showed love to you and to this day doesn't show any love to you, or she doesn't show any love to you. And those relationships impact our feelings about the love of God. They have an impact on that. I really believe that. But the first thing I want to share with you in this synopsis of our relationship with the Lord, we are loved by God. And then it says, because from the beginning God chose you to be saved. Now people argue about that in different church groups and people want to fight about it on one side or the other. And I always tell people, I just go for the face value. It says, God chose me, God chose me. I'm just going to accept it for what it says. God chose me to be saved through two things. The sanctifying work of the Spirit, meaning God's works through his Holy Spirit in my life, and through belief in the truth. Now, why that struck me in a powerful way is we're right in the middle of an eight-week series on the radio with our radio program, an eight-week series on the word believe. 8 weeks just talking about the word believe. What you believe about Jesus Christ impacts what kind of man you are, whether you know it or not. What you believe about the Bible impacts what kind of parent you are as a man or woman. What you believe about eternity, what you believe about heaven and hell impacts how you relate to people. It really does, because we're the result of what we believe. So I find it interesting that the Apostle Paul tells these people at a town called Thessalonica, you're saved through two things, the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit ministering in your life and your belief in the truth, just like today.
Well, we'll continue with part three tomorrow on Cross Hope on Sirius XM 131. It's called the Family Talk Channel. The program is called Cross Hope. God bless you.
What's it mean to have the sanctifying work of the Spirit? It means that God's working in your life in a powerful way. Nobody in this room, my guess is, has ever heard of Danny Velasco. There may be one or two women who maybe have a mental connection with that name. He was a famous makeup artist and hairstylist in New York City for years, Danny Velasco. He commanded at his career height $3,000 a day. You have Danny Velasco working for you for one day, you pay him $3,000 to do your makeup and to do your hair. There was a model from the Ford agency, a very famous modeling agency in New York, who happened to be a Christian. And she was one of his clients. She was one of the people that paid Danny Velasco the big bucks to do her hair and her makeup. And she made an interesting observation that I never thought about before. She said, when somebody's touching your face and touching your hair, doing your makeup and hair, whether you like it or not, you develop a relationship with that person because there's close proximity to that person working on your face and working on your hair. And so she developed a friendship with Danny Velasco. She said there was a time early in his career that he thought of himself as Mr. Wonderful with his cashmere coats. He was the top-notch hairdresser and makeup artist, making $3,000 a day. But he started drinking heavily. And then the drinking led to drug usage, to marijuana, and then to heroin. And it came to the place where he started passing out on a photo shoot. And he said, that's not too good when you're in that business and you pass out and people have to take you to the hospital. It got so bad in his drug addiction that he was on a subway. Get this, this is fascinating to me. He's on a subway with another drug addict. And the other drug addict looks at him and says, Danny, you're dying. You're not going to die. You're dying right now. I can tell medically you're dying. Took him to a hospital at the next subway stop. Danny collapsed in the ER. And he'd remembered something that this model, who was a Christian from the Ford agency, said, Danny, there's a time in your life when it'll get so bad, you will call out to the Lord. You really will. It may not be for weeks, it may not be for months, but I promise you, I'm going to pray that that happens in your life. And funny story that he told parenthetically here, he said one time the model was praying out loud in the chair while he's doing her makeup and praying for Danny, and there's other people sitting in other chairs. And he said he mouthed the words to all the other customers, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry that she's praying. Isn't it awful that she's praying while with her head bowed and he's apologizing to the other customers and the other stylists? But that time came in the ER when he said, Jesus, if you're real, I need you. And Danny Velasco would say there was a presence that came into that room. He said, I still can't explain to this day, but I sensed the presence of God. Now he sings in the choir every Sunday. He's a part of the Brooklyn Tabernacle Church where Jim Cimbala ministers. And I was thinking, what happened to Danny Velasco? The sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, which is a theologically impressive way to say God was working in his life through the Word of God and through prayer and through other people. Just like he does with you and just like he does with me. The sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit and believing in the truth, and the truth ultimately is a person, the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and that's Jesus Christ.
Well, from time to time, when there is time on the program available, we like to tell you about our national website. It's crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org, to find out more about this ministry, find out how you can become a part of this ministry, as well as listen to past programs or current program that maybe you've missed a particular day. That's crosshope.org for any message you'd like to hear on this program.
Verse 14 says, he called you. You've been called by God. And you say, well, when did I get a calling? You just did. I want to say this to you. I don't think I've ever said this before. If you ever hear a message that I've given, you've been called by God. Why? Because I say so? No, because the Word says so. When you hear the Word of God proclaimed, you hear an invitation accepted or expressed, you've been called. And you can't stand before God someday and say, well, I plead ignorance. I never heard this before. And the Lord will say, yes, you did. Crossview Christian Church, the year, the day, that's when you were called. I tried to call you then, but you weren't listening or you refused the call. Called you to this through our gospel that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm. Stand firm and hold to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. God's called you to stand firm. That's an interesting term. We live in a culture that doesn't want you to stand for anything, let alone stand firm. Do you follow me? Culture doesn't want you to stand for anything. You rotten up like the rest of us. Be conformed to the world. Be conformed to the system. Go along to get along. That's the motto of our culture in 2013, and most people know that that's true. I'm going to tell you a story as an example, and some of you may smile and say, well, what's the big deal about that? It's small change temptation. It is. But it represents some big temptations for somebody here. Here's her story. Her name is Shana. She's from Melbourne, Florida. She said, I remember one time standing outside of our high school with my best friend and acquaintances. Suddenly, we were approached by a handsome young man with a cigarette glowing between his two fingers. He passed the cigarette to my acquaintance, who gazed at it quizzically and then took a slow, long drag. The boy then lifted the cigarette up to my lips and gave me a look of expectancy. You know, the kind of look like a mother gives to her child who's unwilling to eat. The pressure of those watching me and urging me was a little nerve-wracking, but I was a mule. I love that. I was a mule, and I didn't give in. Situations like this have etched into my heart the importance of keeping strong in what you believe. Now, you may smile. I smiled at that. What's the big temptation of the cigarette? Let me tell you, every week, Satan is using somebody in your life. Take this. Indulge this. Watch this. Look at that. Give in. Here, and you know exactly what I mean. That means different things to different men, but every man knows what I'm talking about. It means different things to different women, but every woman knows what I'm talking about. We're all under pressure to give in, to indulge, to take, to use, to do that which violates the will and the word of God. And what does Paul say? Stand firm. Stand firm in what you've been taught by mouth or by letter. In other words, hold on to the word of God. Then I want to talk about encouragement from 16 and 17. This is really powerful. This is a prayer. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. I'm going to let you in on a little secret about encouragement that maybe you've never known before. Encouragement comes from the Lord. Should we try to encourage people? Absolutely. But ultimately, the Lord takes credit for encouragement. So here's my thought. The best encouragement you can give your spouse, one of your children, one of your parents, a coworker, is say, Lord, would you give her or give him the encouragement that only you can give?
Tomorrow, a powerful story on Cross Hope on Sirius XM 131, the Family Talk Channel. God bless you.
I said, what do you do, Daryl? And he said, well, I'm one of 200 people that are trained as online counselors for the Billy Graham organization. And he said, one day, in fact, he said, I got an online call from a man who said, I'm ready to commit suicide. And Daryl did what I think I would have done. He said, well, could you give me a little more information? What's going on? Just trying to keep him talking on the computer. He said, my wife and I just lost our son to leukemia. And he died on Mother's Day. We're angry. We're hurting. And he said, I just can't take it anymore. I just can't live with the loss of my son who died on Mother's Day. If you can believe this, Daryl types back, sir, you're not going to believe this, and I'm not making this up, but my wife and I lost a son on Mother's Day. Not this past Mother's Day, but a past Mother's Day. You think that was an accident that that guy typed into the Billy Graham organization and hooked up with Daryl, who he and his wife did lose a son on a Mother's Day in years past? Well, that conversation was over. I'm nosy enough to say, Daryl, tell me your story. How did you lose your son? And Daryl told me that his son was a youth minister, young youth minister at a church somewhere in North Carolina, started having headaches, all kinds of typical neurological stuff going on, and found out he had what's called a glioblastoma, a tumor, brain tumor. Went to Duke University, the whole nine yards, and they did everything they knew to do. But he died. Died on Mother's Day. Their son was a donor. And a man older than their son got the heart. And they were glad to know that, but never had any contact with the recipient. Wonder who's got the heart and how they're doing. And finally, through a set of circumstances and permission granted, that kind of thing, Daryl's on the phone with the guy who's received the heart of his son. You imagine how awkward and exciting and depressing and all of the above at the same time to talk to somebody who's alive because your son died. And Daryl said, would you meet us at a restaurant for lunch? And the man said, yes, I'd be glad to. And so they met at a restaurant somewhere in North Carolina, had their lunch together. It was awkward at first, he said, but yet they were glad to connect with him. And then Annie and I weren't prepared for what Daryl told us next. He said, before I left, I looked at this man and said, "Can I put my hand on your chest? Can I just feel my son's heart beating in your chest?" And the man said, "Sure." Can you imagine how emotional that was, that moment? "Can I put my hand on your chest to feel my son's heart beating in your chest?" And he said, "Yes." You say, why would you tell a story like that? For this reason. When you gave your life to Christ, there's a new heart beating in you. God gives you a new heart and a new mind and a new spirit. And it's not psychological, it's spiritual. It's something with the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. And Paul would say to the church at Corinth, "Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and he lives in you and he works in you, and he watches everything you watch, he reads everything you read, he goes to every joint, every place you go to. The Holy Spirit lives in you. There's something in your life that's new because of Christ coming into your life." In a nutshell, what does it mean to come to Christ? You are loved, you're chosen, and you're called, and you're saved through the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit and by believing in the truth, believing in the one who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." His name is Jesus. Don't ever forget that. Let's pray together.
You have been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information or to listen to or download a copy of today's message, go to crosshope.org. That web address again is www.crosshope.org. Be sure to tune in each weekday at this same time to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. This program has been a production of Cross Hope Ministries.